You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week 5 in the final week of our series, Holy Habits, Small Disciplines, Big Results. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
How's everyone doing today? Are we all right? Hey, good. I'm glad you're here today. I gotta say, I don't usually start my messages with like little bits of, you know, unrelated chit chat and kind of like, how are you, pleasantries. I like to get like straight to the heart of my messages, right to the heart of what I want to talk about for the morning. But I need to take just a quick second here right now to like to do some of those kind of like little unrelated chit chats and pleasantries, okay? I need to do that really quickly because I want to say, number one, how good it is to be back after I had a little chance to take a step away. And if you weren't aware of the fact that I just took a little extended time away, that means you weren't in church for the last little while, which we're going to leave that alone. But the truth is, I just took a few extra weeks off. So I want to say it's good to be back. Number two, I want to say thanks to our lead team for allowing me to unplug for what was a few extra weeks this summer. Dave McDaniel, Hannah Arlich, Andrea Atherton, Randy Lindstedt, Alex Miller, thank you so much to all of you for your guidance and your care for this church and your care for me and your care for our staff. And that leads me to number three. I want to say thank you to our staff. Brian, our first ever hire like 5 years ago. He continues to provide the most steady leadership here at Midcurrent. Lexi, she continues to impress me every single day more and more and more with her leadership and with her maturity, with everything that she does in MC Kids. And Jonathan is such a massive, massive gift to me and to this church. You guys, he is so wise and he is so compassionate and he is so good at what he does in so many different areas throughout this church. We are beyond lucky to have him here at this place. I truly couldn't have disappeared for a little bit without all of them. And with all of that said about my gratitude for them, I actually started to realize, as I put together the rest of what I wanted to share today, I actually started to realize that maybe these thoughts about my gratitude for those working around me, I started to realize maybe they're actually not all that unrelated to what I wanted to begin talking about today. You see, my first ever full-time gig in ministry was actually at the very same time of being my first ever season in ministry. It was actually one of the most hurtful seasons of my life because of the team of people that I had around me. I know I've told bits and pieces of this story before, but as a 22-year-old college grad, I took a job as a high school youth pastor at a big church in Colorado, and the size of my youth group that I was leading, just high school students alone, was like larger than the church that I had grown up at as a kid. And so this is a new challenge for me. And the hard part was, is my coworkers, the people directly around me, it was a new challenge for me, but these people that were around me, they also made it an incredibly painful journey along the way for me. I was young, yes, and I was new, but I had some experience and I had some excitement for the vision of, you know, student ministries that I wanted to bring to the church. And it was when it was just about a few months in, when that vision, when like things weren't like clicking, when that vision, you know, wasn't necessarily embraced by our students as much as I thought it would, it was then when I was shocked to have found out. I'm not quite sure how I found out, if I was supposed to find out, but I was shocked to find out that the longtime youth ministry assistant who worked for me, who had welcomed me enthusiastically. In fact, I remember the little, you know, note that she wrote me when I first joined the team, her telling me like, my goodness, you are like the most perfect addition to our team. I remember being shocked to find out that she was actually talking about me behind my back to the group of high school girls that she led in her small group. She's talking to her 13, 14, 15-year-old small group girls about some of the hesitations that, you know, she was, you know, had about me. And she's talking to them about some of the conflicts that we were navigating, just normal, natural, you know, conflicts that we were navigating in what I thought was like a very mature and productive way. She's talking about me behind my back to the girls that not only she is leading, but that I'm attempting to be leading as well. To put it very mildly, oh, that hurt. Okay? And that wasn't it. What was maybe even more hurtful was when, kind of in response to like the uphill battle that I was now facing, what hurt even more was when my boss, he wasn't our lead pastor, we had a bunch of staff pastors at a church this big. What was even more hurtful is when my boss, my supervisor asked me, and I'll never, ever, ever forget the meeting we had at the high top tables in his office. I'll never forget when he asked me, kind of subtly, but the point was very clear. He was asking me if I had ever considered a different profession. Hinting subtly but very clearly, you know, that maybe this was not my gig. Maybe all this wasn't for me. I'm not exaggerating about a single detail of this. I can vividly remember, not only in that moment, but for the rest of the day, I can remember working to hold back tears as long as I could for the rest of the day until I got home to my, you know, brand new wife of like 6 months, and I broke down into a big sobbing mess. I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, and I was incredibly discouraged. It was so lonely to show up to that place day in and day out again. And after 2 years, I actually finally I waved the white flag. It's hard to sum it all up and to, you know, put a little bow on the whole thing, but this whole experience with people that I was excited to be working with, this whole experience with people that I was trying to build relationships with, this whole experience with people who were supposed to be on my team and who had acted like they were in my corner, it hurt bad. You ever been hurt before? Hands are going up, heads are nodding. Studies actually show that over half of relationships, of all relationships, have been damaged by some form of betrayal or some form of broken trust. Is that true for any of you? Is that something that's happened to you? Has someone said something to you or done something to you that broke your trust in them? Maybe you accidentally saw the text message you weren't meant to see. Maybe you read the email that was really never intended for you to read. Maybe someone that you loved or that you looked up to you lied to you. Pastor Jonathan talked last week about the destruction of not telling the truth, right? Maybe you've been hurt by someone who has been less than truthful with you. It hurts. Maybe someone in town has got the wrong idea about you. Maybe someone was spreading a rumor about you. Maybe someone was talking about you behind your back, or maybe they were saying hurtful things to you right to your face. If you too have been hurt in any fashion, I can't say for sure, but I'm willing to guess. I don't know. But I'm willing to guess that if you have been hurt, I'm willing to guess that you're maybe a lot like me in the fact that hurt turns to bitterness really quickly. Sometimes when you least expect it. See, I told most people that I was over all that stuff with my boss. As time has gone on, I've told anybody who knows that part of my life, I told people, I'm over all that stuff with my boss. Here's how I know I wasn't over all that stuff with my boss. I was out in Colorado just this last fall. It was October, just this past year. This is almost 15 years later. I was asked to be a guest speaker at the church where my old boss worked. And when the weekend was over, there's Saturday night services, Sunday services, big weekend. When the whole deal was over, I'm leaving the church. And it's a big place. There's people milling about everywhere. So you can kind of slip in and slip out anonymously. When I'm leaving the church, I saw him out of the corner of my eye. And I had no intention of going to say hello to him. Okay? I could see him out of the corner of my eye. And I was fully prepared to just slip on out of there without even acknowledging him. Right? It was only until he came and flagged me down as I was like 1 foot out the door that we stopped and talked. I could see him, but I had no intention of talking to him. My head said, yeah, we're good. My heart said, ain't no way I'm going to talk to that dude. Busted. 15 years later, and I'm still bitter. I'm not talking to you, dude. Anyone? Or is it just me? Is this just a me thing here? Man, I can say from experience, bitterness is really, really, really ugly, gang. In fact, I read something this week about bitterness that kind of wowed me upside the head, right? And I wanted to share it with you. Here's the reality. I think it's so true about bitterness. Listen to this. It says bitterness is like drinking poison hoping someone else will die. You catch that? Bitterness. I know I've felt it in my life. Bitterness in response to someone who has done you wrong. It's like you drinking a poison, hoping that they will die. Folks, this kind of dynamic in a relationship, this kind of dynamic inside of us, it will destroy any relationship in which it exists. It will kill any friendship that you care about. But there is a cure. I think there is another way. I think there is an antidote to any relationship of significance to you. I think there is an antidote to the relationship that is on the rocks. And if you wanna know what it is, then I'm really glad you're here today, because I wanna show you what I think it is. And to do so, I want you to turn your attention with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. This is the Bible's book of wisdom. The entire book of Proverbs, it's like these amazing nuggets of wisdom all written in like Twitter form, or I should say in X form, but that doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well as it used to. But that's beside the point. I want us to turn to the wisdom that exists in Proverbs. Here's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. It says this: love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Midcurrent, here's what all this says to me, right? About these kind of like, you know, if or when, you know, but kind of statements. Here's what this says to me about your relationships in mind. Here's what I think is so true. Tension is inevitable. Division is optional. Forgiveness then is critical. Tension in a relationship of significance, it's inevitable. There's no avoiding it. Division, however, separation is optional. Forgiveness, as a result, is critical. Forgiveness is the key to the relationship or the friendship or the marriage that matters to you. Forgiveness is the choice, and it is the ingredient that will determine whether your relationships and mine will soar or whether they will sour. Forgiveness isn't optional. It's not occasional. It's not even conditional in a relationship that matters to you. It's critical, because tension is inevitable, but division and separation is optional. Because I'm sure that you've heard all about, you know, the importance of forgiveness in church before, right? I'm sure you've heard all about sermon, you know, you've heard sermons and messages on forgiveness before. But what I want to suggest to you more specifically today, what I want to suggest to you today is something that I'm going to guess that you maybe haven't heard as much before. Because what I want to suggest to you today is that forgiveness, right? Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But what I want to suggest to you today is that forgiveness isn't just critical. What I want to suggest to you today is that forgiveness actually needs to become habitual in our life. It needs to become, to, you know, not use a weird sounding word, it needs to become a habit in our life. It needs to become a habit in your life and in my life. And that's what I want to talk about, right? Today I'm concluding this series on holy habits. We're talking about small, you know, disciplines and choices that we would make that could produce huge results, huge changes in our life. And what I'm urging you today is to put forgiveness on the top of the list of habits that you might choose to build into your life. Now, here's the deal. I recognize that this is an atypical habit to suggest. It's not like, you know, especially in the list of holy habits, right? It's not like Bible reading or prayer or daily devotions and any kind of habit. You know, it's not like exercise or something like that. But let me show you when I realized that Jesus truly intended for this to be a holy habit in your life and in my life. I discovered this when I was reading Matthew chapter 18. I want you to look at this with me today. Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. If you're flipping through a hard cover Bible, very first book in the New Testament. And here's what's happening by the time we get to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is teaching his disciples a number of lessons about life in the kingdom of God. And at one point, one of his disciples, his name's Peter, he approaches Jesus with a question. And that's where I wanna start today. Take a look at this with me. This is Matthew chapter 18, and this is verse 21 where I'm gonna start reading. It says this, "Then Peter came to him." Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?" Some translations actually say, "How many times should I forgive someone who hurts me?" And then he throws out a number. He asks Jesus, "How many times should I forgive someone who hurts me?" "Seven times?" Peter asks. Okay, now the number seven that Peter suggests here, it isn't just kind of like a random number that, you know, that Peter just threw out there. He actually thinks that he's making a pretty impressive suggestion here. Okay, you see, Jewish custom and Jewish tradition said that three times was kind of the expectation. Jewish tradition said that three times was proper and that three times was sufficient to show a true forgiving spirit. And Peter would have known that quite well. I mean, as would everybody. They were all good Jewish men and women. Three times was the expectation in Jewish tradition to show a forgiving spirit. Peter would have known that quite well. And so him suggesting seven times to Jesus is him trying to come off looking pretty good. It's him trying to come off looking pretty generous by more than doubling what was appropriate in Jewish culture. And here's Jesus' response, verse 22. "No, not seven times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times seven." Some translations say 70 times seven. Others, you know, just the way they, you know, interpreted it, they said it was 77 times. But here's the deal. The number itself, when you look further, the number itself is not the point. Whether it was 490 times or whether it was just 77 times, that's not the point. But here is the point. Just about every biblical scholar agrees that Jesus wasn't intending to give an actual number. He wasn't intending to give a specific number or a specific answer to Peter's question. But rather he said, you know, 77 times, or he said 70 times seven, whichever it is, he gave his answer as a way to suggest that true Jesus followers are to forgive without keeping count. That's the point. He wasn't attempting to actually give a number to Peter's question. He wanted to demonstrate the fact that true Jesus followers, that they're supposed to give without keeping track, without keeping tally, without keeping count. Do you want to know what you call something that you do over and over and over again without keeping count? I call that a habit that we've chosen to take up in our life. Let me ask you this a question. Do you know how many times I've brushed my teeth in my entire life? I have no idea. No idea. Because it's a routine habit in my life that I do without keeping track. I do it without counting. Because it's just become a part of my everyday routine. I think Jesus is trying to get his disciples, and I think he's trying to get you and I to understand that forgiveness actually has to work the same way. We got to make a habit in our life. It's not, you know, we're not to forgive others 3 times or 7 times or 77 times. It's not even 490 times, but we forgive without keeping count. Why such a dramatic explanation? I mean, why such an outrageous expectation? Why does the bar set so high? Because tension and friction in any relationship of significance is inevitable, but division and separation is optional, right? Love prospers in our relationships when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. It separates husbands and wives. It separates siblings. It separates business partners. It separates colleagues. It separates coworkers. It separates neighbors. Forgiveness, Midcurrent, to the life that we are living in the kingdom of God, it is mission critical. Now, I think I know what some of you are thinking right now. If I had to guess, I got a hunch. My guess is some of you are thinking like, Hasten, I don't know if you get it, man. Like they really hurt me. Like that, they really cut me deep. Like that it wasn't just a little thing. It was a big, massive thing. I mean, it was a soul crushing, you know, relationship fracturing, unforgivable kind of thing. I got to think that some of that's what some of you think, right? Stan, you don't get it. I mean, this was a big thing. If that's you, I get it. I mean, I've been there before. I understand full well that certain hurts hit different. I really do. I get it. But you got to understand that I'm not suggesting that forgiveness is you saying, you know what? It's okay that you did that thing to me. Forgiveness isn't, you know, saying, hey, you know what? Everything will just go back to the way that it was. Forgiveness isn't saying like, you know what? I overreacted. My bad. Okay, forgiveness, it's not any of that. It's not just saying, hey, you know what, it's all good. You know, here's the, in this, in my opinion, forgiveness is you deciding. Forgiveness is you deciding that you are no longer gonna torture yourself by drinking a poison and hoping that someone else will die. Right? Forgiveness is you making a choice. I'm not going to drink the poison and then hope that somehow they come out on the wrong end of the deal. Forgiveness is freedom for you from a prison of your past hurts. So here's the deal, folks. If forgiveness is going to be a habit, then that's what I'm suggesting. Right, I know it's a little atypical, but if forgiveness is going to become a habit, something that we just do almost without thinking and without keeping count, if it's going to be a habit, then here's what's going to have to happen. Okay, we are going to have to decide, you and I, we are going to have to decide long before we get hurt that we are people who forgive people when we get hurt. We have to decide before we get hurt that we're going to be people who just choose to forgive people when we get hurt. We don't wait to, you know, see if it ever happens. We don't, you know, wait to decide in the moment. We don't say like, well, I'll think about it when the time comes around. We don't say like, well, man, it depends on what they did, right? If we wait and see how we feel in the heat of the moment, trust me, forgiveness ain't gonna be our default. We gotta choose to make it our default. We gotta determine right now, just like brushing our teeth, right? That we gotta determine right now that this is just gonna be how we roll as followers of the one who did not hold our faults against us, right? This has just gotta be a part of our everyday routine. This is how we gotta respond when there is tension and when there's friction in a relationship. It's just the forgiveness is what we gotta choose. Long in advance is what we have to choose. That we've already pre-decided that this is how we're gonna respond when we will inevitably get hurt. And thanks be to God that this is how God responds to us, right? That his default is kindness and grace and unending forgiveness when we did not deserve it. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, I don't know if you've stopped long enough to kind of look around you. I don't know if you stopped long enough to look around you at the world right now, but bitterness is more common than ever. Being offended is the norm. Everyone is offended today at what everyone else did or didn't do. Division is everywhere. Separation and taking sides, it's just expected almost, right? Unfortunately, in certain circles, like, it's encouraged. If you're not for us, you're against us. It's us versus them, right? This kind of division and separation and hurt and deal is everywhere. Mid-Current, we gotta draw a line in the sand. Us as a church, we gotta draw a line in the sand and go, nope, not with us. Not us. That's not how we are gonna play this game. That's not how the love that we want people to know and to feel and to experience in this world. That's not how the love that we want them to feel. That's not how it's gonna prosper. We gotta decide before we get hurt that we're gonna be people who forgive when we get hurt. We gotta decide before we get hurt that we're gonna be people who forgive our spouse. It's just what we do. It's just who we are. We gotta decide that we're gonna be people who forgive our brother, who forgive our parents, who forgive our friends, who forgive the people that sit next to us in church, or who even forgive the church, right? When we will inevitably get hurt. Because it's gonna happen. It really is. Unfortunately, it really is inevitable. But division, on the other hand, separation is optional. As long as we understand that forgiveness is critical and that it needs to become a habit in your life and in mine. I can't say for sure, for all of you sitting here today, I can't say for sure, but I gotta think that there is some kind of specific hurt, some maybe even specific relationship or situation that is rolling around in your head right now. And so here's the deal. I wanna give you some time right now. I wanna give you some time right here and right now to bring that before God. If it's a specific hurt, if it's a specific person, if it's a specific relationship, if it's a specific group, or there's been some hurt happening in your life, I wanna give you some time right now to bring that before God. Brian is gonna lead us in just a moment here with a song that really puts forgiveness right at center stage. He's going to lead for us a song that puts forgiveness right under the spotlight to think about, to bring before God. So here's the deal. As he sings, here's what I want to have happen. I want to leave some space for you to discuss with God where it is that the forgiveness is most needed in your life right now. I want to create some space for you to have a conversation with God. So in these next few moments, that Brian's going to play for us, I want you to do one or two or three, maybe do all of a few things here. Number one, I want you to spend a few moments just talking to God about that situation, about that hurt, bring it to him. Number two, maybe this is for you. You just let the words of this song be kind of sung over you, or maybe for you, maybe you would even at a certain point, maybe you would even sing along, making the words of this song the prayer of your heart here today. Whatever you got to do, here's the deal. I don't want you to walk out of here without attending to whatever I'm guessing has been maybe rolling around in your heart today about the hurt, about the person, about they, about what happened, don't walk out of here today without taking a look at that and bringing it before God and considering where forgiveness might be critical. Midcurrent, I think that there is a whole world around us. There's a whole world around you that needs to see love prosper. And I think that starts with us. I think that starts inside of you and me. When we get to the place, when we decide that we are going to be people to choose in the face of what has been done to us, in the face of faults against us, when we're people who choose to forgive what went wrong. And so my hope is that we can be people that go out into this world that can respond like that, that we decide now, long before we ever get hurt, that we are just going to be people who forgive people when we get hurt.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.